sandwich country between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, God bless America, land that I love. America, America, God shed His grace on.
Does that star spangled? domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. So help me God. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution.
The truth. You can't handle the truth.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is April 1st, April Fool's Day. I don't generally participate in such tomfoolery, but I am on guard all day, trying not to get caught in it. Amy's big about it. Now, Dave's still young, so I don't know what's going to happen between now and midnight, but there's always a possibility that something else is still going to happen. But I first thought when she called me and said there was this big water leak. All right, sure there is. But it wasn't the case. There actually was a water leak. And let's see, before I get too carried away here, let me see. It looks like everything is running smoothly. All the little colored things are bouncing up. They're not colored like, 1960s and stuff. This is like really are colored, green and yellow and red and whatnot. So let's see if we have people that can hear. Let's see a show of hands, okay? And we're waiting. Everything's moving good on this side, so I think they got sound. So, anyway, I come home, tried to figure out how to tell her to shut everything down so the pump would quit running because water was filling up the pump house. The pump house is underground, and she says water's filling up the pump house. It's going to get up to the electrical thing pretty quick. So, fortunately, it was kind of seeping out the edge of the floor there. Didn't quite ever make it up to there. Got real close. Got within like 6 inches of it. But thanks, Doc. She couldn't figure out how to turn. She found there's a breaker box outside, and I said, hit the big one that says main. She didn't quite look up far enough. She hit one that said main, but it was something someone had incorrectly labeled. It was not the main. It was just a secondary main, I guess. Anyway, had a little sticker on it that said main, but the great big breaker up at the very top of the box was the one, and that would have shut everything down. But it was kind of hidden in the shadows from the lid and everything up there, so it kind of overlooked it. So I said, oh, well, just stay away from that box. Don't touch it in case water gets to that box. It may get, there may be some loud noises and sparks happening in different places there, so just stay away from that. And I'll worry about it when I get home. So I got here, there was actually a valve that goes outside there. She couldn't reach it, and I didn't want her getting on that ladder there's an aluminum ladder in there, and then a foot of water, a foot and a half of water. So I didn't want her to go down there and touching metal and being on that ladder standing in the water. So I said, "Do I just leave it alone?" So I was able to reach it, you know, by laying down on my stomach and kind of letting half of me get down in the hole and turn the valve off. And so what I did then is went out and found a very long piece of garden hose. And fortunately, I had in my truck, I had a fitting in there that was the female end of a garden hose with what you call a barb fitting in it. You know, it sticks inside the hose and you put a hose clamp on it and hold it on. So what I did that for was there's also a faucet in the pump house, which allows you to drain the pressure tanks and everything. So I hooked that one end of that hose up to that, and since I had female now on both ends, I took the other one and hooked it up to a spigot outside the house. So, hey, Frog, I don't think I've seen you in here before. Welcome to the shooting bench. I hope we find something amusing or entertaining or otherwise desirable and make you stick around and come back from time to time. Anyway, I hooked the hose up to the spigot. Now, what all that did for me was it allowed water to come in slowly, because once the line filled, it, of course, went out the break wherever it is, but the water didn't start at the break. So it allows us to have about 25% of our water pressure as long as that valve is on. So, you know, it toilet will fill after a little while, and we can get water to wash hands with and stuff, and then go back outside and turn it back off. And so that's how we're running things here for the next little while until I get that dug up. It's probably 4 feet deep, so it's going to be some digging, but I can dig it. So one of those things. All right, let's move on. We got tried to stick, like I said, some training stuff in each show here. But we've got a news blitz going on here. Got a lot of stuff I want to get out before we start on the, try to get this done before the bottom of the hour and then talk about some other gun stuff here. So here in Arizona appears to be a place that is becoming less desirable or less safe anyway for bad guys to do their thing. You remember not too long ago, there was 5 guys killed with or shot anyway. I think 3 of them were killed with an AK-47. All bad guys, of course. This has happened pretty regular here for the last, 3 or 4 or 5 months. There's been quite a few. Well, today is no exception, or actually yesterday. Another Arizona homeowner shoots and kills an intruder, injures another one. And the guy said, you know, I would do it all again. If they come into my house, if they come, they better come ready. It's unclear right now whether there's going to be any charges filed, but depending on the circumstances, I think he'll be safe with our stand your ground law and our castle doctrine law. I think he's probably going to be okay. And apparently, although I don't know the circumstances of the case. Now, remember we talked about one last week where the guy invited, it wasn't in Arizona, I don't remember where it was at. But he invited the guy to his house to fight. And then the guy came in the house, and he shot him, and he was covered under their castle doctrine law. And that was cold-blooded murder. So I don't know what the circumstances are on this one, so we'll find out. If I find out, you'll find out. In New Zealand, I thought this was an interesting story. There's gangs in New Zealand, as you might expect. There's gangs about near everywhere. But there's a gang called the Mongrels in New Zealand. And they say that they ain't giving up their guns. They said they will not be surrendering their guns as mandated by the New Zealand government. He said that, somebody interviewed him here. I guess it was, Breitbart interviewed him. And he said the guy's name was Sonny Fatu, I guess F-A-T-U, looks like Fatu to me. He said, will gangs get rid of their weapons? No, because of who we are. We can't guarantee our own safety. And he went to great lengths here to tell them that they go out of their ways, that they don't want to injure innocent people, but they do have, he said, there may be some peripheral damage, violence that occasionally spills out into the public eye, but is absolutely and without intention for any harm to be caused to any non-gang members, which is awful nice of them, I guess. But anyway, and another one, there's another group there called Black Power, and his name's Dennis O'Reilly. And he said the same thing, and asked if his gang hang over their guns. He said, of course not. Why in the hell would you be talking about handing back guns when you're talking about progressing your family and moving from pathology to potential? Where on earth would discussions about guns come up in that? Not sure what he meant by all that, but anyhow. So things are heating up in New Zealand just as they are here. It's, we're going to see this next year, right up until the election. Now, I'm not going to tell you how I know or suspect this, but between 4 and 8 months prior to probably 4 to 6 months prior to the election, there will be a significant event here. And unless something changes in these people's attitude or plans here, or something happens, then that is probably going to be taking place. I'm not sure what the event's going to be, and I'm not sure exactly when it's going to happen. So at right now, it is fairly well-heeled hearsay. But just so you know, if I find out, if I get to a point where I'm able to share anything else, I will certainly get on it right away. But for right now, that's the best we can do. So let's move right on here. We got a lot of things to cover. I'll come back to that. Here in Arizona, again, in Mesa, a guy, a little road rage going on. And he gets out, and he appears like he's, you know, he handles a gun like he's done this before, or done something with a gun before, anyway. And he's, you know, somebody cut him off or something. He bailed out of his car with his gun, and he, you know, this is why you can't blame the liberals, the anti-gunners, for wanting more restrictions because of idiots like this. And I won't say you can't blame them. Of course we can blame them, but we can understand how they feel, right? When you get someone that gets a little upset about something, and this is one of the things I cover very thoroughly in my concealed weapons class. I say, if you are the type to think that you might possibly lose your temper if someone walked up to you at a company party and slapped you or you know, butted in and started dancing with your wife or something like that. If you don't think you can handle that, you have two choices. Don't go to the party or leave your gun at home. Not out in the car. I'm talking at home. If you think you can't handle your temper well enough, you know, if you get upset about little stuff like that, you need to not be carrying a gun. You need not be drinking, obviously. And not be carrying a gun where something like this may possibly happen. Carrying a gun every day is probably the most intense responsibility that you will ever undertake. And it requires a certain degree, a large degree of discipline and respect, for the weapon and for people around you. And, there is no leeway there. There is no room for mistakes. There is no room for losing your temper. There is no room for, you know, careless handling or disrespect of people or the firearm itself. There's just absolutely no room for it. So that's what happened in Mesa. Oh, the guy, well, the cops came. He got, somebody caught him on his cell phone and cell phone video. So he jumped out of his car, pulled the gun out, and started yelling and telling him to get on the ground. And tells him he drives like crap. So you drive like crap, get on the ground or I'm going to shoot you. So the video shows the guy cussing at the driver and then heard asking the man to take his finger off the trigger. So the other guy called the police and arrested the idiot, recommended aggravated assault charges, and rightfully so. He should get charged. He absolutely should. No question about it. You can't have people running around and doing that kind of stuff. Now, it's unfortunate that the other guy didn't have a gun and be trained and skilled in the use of it and take care of this problem before it progressed to this point. Now, like I said, I wasn't there, so I don't know if that would have been possible or not, but that would be the ideal situation. Okay, on we go. This one really, really ticks me off. This in Georgia, there was a meeting or town hall, it's a election type thing, and only black reporters were allowed in this. They're big sign, two signs, one on each side of the door, says no audio or video recording, and I can't see the bottom of the sign. I forgot whether it says black or African American. I think it says black reporters only. Now, there's some things really wrong with this. apparently, and I've wondered about this for years, many years, probably even before the shooting bench started, which was, what, 15 years ago or 16 years ago or something like that. When did it start? What is this, 2019? Must have been 14 years ago, I guess. Anyway, is how it is that minorities, especially blacks, are able to say and do the things that they do, and racism is never, ever, ever an issue. Crackers, honkies, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's never an issue. When they... And I hate doing this with a passion because I feel like a fourth grader. When they call each other the N-word, my word, it's okay for them. If I were to call, I guess it'd be all right if I called one of my friends a honky here. I guess that's okay too. It's just that they can't do that to anybody else. But the other thing here, we have a First Amendment issue here. We have a, what is it, censorship? Well, that's First Amendment, too. Either way, same thing. So, anyway, I have a real problem with this. And I don't know, but there's no other story backing this up that says, okay, the local sheriff come in and said these signs have to come down. Everybody has equal right to come in here and do this. There's been no story. There's no backup to this. There's no continuance here or whatever. Anyway, oh, by the way, AZ Bound, I think, buddy, you are going to be taken care of. I think tomorrow's the day. I think this is over with. So I will let you know. I will send you a text as soon as it's cleared up and get this ball rolling. But I think it's finally come to an end. AZ Bound knows what I'm talking about there, so rest of you will at some point. All right, let's scoot on over here. Here we go. Utah's got a new Stand Your Ground law in bill. Has been signed by the governor as of day before yesterday. So that's a good thing. What is not a good thing is Los Angeles LAPD, as of the day before yesterday, asks to cancel people's CCW permits. Los Angeles Police Department has moved to cancel most of the few remaining concealed weapons permits in civilian hands, according to new filings in a decades-old legal case. Chief Michael Moore, oh boy, I'd hate to have that name, wouldn't you? Chief Michael Moore said in a sworn declaration he did not believe a group of people who obtained so-called CCWs as a result of the 1994 lawsuit were still entitled to their permits, because it was unlikely the individuals still faced extraordinary physical danger to their lives. I do not believe the continued wholesale allowance of each to possess a CCW license based on circumstances that may have existed 24 years ago is in the best interest of the public. So it's been 24 years and all of a sudden now it's a problem. Permits to carry a concealed firearm are allowed under California law, but it's up to local chiefs and sheriffs, police chiefs and sheriffs, to decide if an applicant has a valid reason to obtain one. So, there you go. A little more to the story, but it just goes on and on about the same type of stuff there. Let's see, I'm saving this one. I'm going to move it to the front of the line, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. We'll talk about this in just a minute. And what do we got left here? Right here, Ohio middle schooler. Now, this irks me, too, a lot. As of 4 days ago, Ohio middle schooler suspended for honoring fallen soldiers. 13-year-old middle schooler now has a 3-day suspension on his permanent record. His crime? Making a battlefield cross replica for a school history project. You know, I could eat a pound of 16 penny nails right now and poop a bag full of thumbtacks. I mean, I am just beside myself. I was when I first read this, I was, and now I am again. I cannot believe these people. The guy said he only wanted to honor the nation's fallen soldiers, but was instead handed a 3-day in-school suspension. So how does that work? You go to study hall every day? So that's kind of ridiculous. It says the charge they charged him was initially for bringing a look-alike weapon to school and creating a disturbance. But that was changed to insubordination. This guy said on Todd Starnes said, frankly, I don't know what that means, and I went to law school. That could mean any number of things, and I don't really see how it applies to this situation. The battlefield cross is a military memorial that usually places the fallen soldier's rifle in his boots with his helmet hung over it. The kid, with permission from his teacher, used a Nerf dart blaster to recreate the memorial. So he had permission from his teacher to do this. Upon arriving to school to present his project, which included a PowerPoint, a PowerPoint presentation, the kid's name was Carlin. Carlin was stopped by a school official and told to leave his memorial in the school's office. He said that Carlin was then allowed to give the presentation, but without the visual aid of the memorial. So they wouldn't let him use it, and they still charged him with it. Carlin's parents called the school and were informed that their son had been suspended for 3 days for bringing his memorial. The parents weren't particularly happy about it. They thought what their son was doing was something that, frankly, would honor fallen soldiers and honor the memories of some of the people that they knew and that Tyler had grown up with. Carlin's attorney said that the county is overwhelmingly conservative, with President Trump carrying 83% of the vote in 2016. This isn't some big city where everybody gets twitchy about stuff like this. This is good conservative Ohio. Had a 22-minute meeting with the school superintendent, was told that the school would not be changing its position. Not wanting to file a lawsuit, the lawyer said that the school has a list of what the Carlins would like, namely that Tyler's suspension be removed from his record and that he'd be issued an apology, and the official who handled the situation be required to take child interaction training. The last thing we've asked for is that the school helped facilitate putting up Fallen Soldiers, a monument, a battle cross somewhere on school grounds so that children can see this. The attorney expressed hope that the situation would be resolved amicably. Told Todd Starnes his firm was willing to waive attorney's fees the school would be required to pay as a gesture of goodwill if the issue could be resolved promptly and amicably. Well, that's awful nice of him. So we'll see what happens with this. That's the end of the story right there. But if you remember back in, for those of you that have been listening for a long time, Tebow will remember. What's Scottsdale real estate agent? Mountain Shooter, I don't know what you're asking there. I don't remember saying anything about Scottsdale. But Tebow will probably remember this. Back in, it would have been 2006, 7, maybe 8, somewhere in there. I made a big deal out of it on the radio show. There was a kid that had his granddad had died, and they went to the funeral, and there was a 21-gun or whatever it was, 3-gun, 7-gun, 21-gun salute. And the kid was given one of the empty pieces of brass from the M1 Grand, or maybe it was a Grand. And it was a piece of military, 30-06 brass. And he took it to school showing it off, and he got suspended and got his rifle, his brass, taken away. So with a little research, we found out the phone number for the family. And I think we called him. Yeah, we did call him. We called and talked to him. And we told him that he didn't do anything wrong, and we support him, and we're proud of what he did, and blah, blah, blah. And I found a, which not hard to do, we've got drawers full of them, and had a piece of 30-06 brass, and we tumbled it and polished it all up for him and got him a Southwest Shooting Authority cap and a small t-shirt and all this stuff and sent it to him because we wanted him to know that he didn't do anything wrong. Regardless of what happened at school, that there were people out there that supported him and was proud of what he did and proud of his granddad and all that. So, okay, Mountain Shooter, I get you. I understand what you're doing there now. Don't blame me a bit. So, anyway, I guess that's enough of that story. This one here, I may save this one. If I have time at the end of the show, I'll do this one. One I want to do before we take a break here. All of you know who Matt Shea is, or if you don't, you dang sure ought to. Matt Shea is a representative up in Washington, and I don't know what the I think he's District 2. I'm not sure, but Matt's a good friend of mine, and he's always doing amazing stuff in his work up there. He is a hardcore constitutional conservative, and he's a great guy all around, a wonderful guy to talk to. You just love the guy just being around him. And anyway, he has introduced a bill in the state of Washington that will abolish abortion completely, totally. Get rid of it. Be done with it forevermore. So I hope that he is, I hope he's successful with that. And we wish him certainly all the dang luck in the world. I hope that it works out for him. So with all that being said, we're going to come back and have, after the break here, we've got a little bit of gun stuff we want to talk about. And I may try to squeeze in one more story at the end. So stand.
I'll be back. see. I'm just out off Mount San Antonio with a radio blasting and the bird dog gone. There's a big trap with my head down the town. No local yokel gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger around and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kinda just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa. It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, let's see if we can finish this up and get out of here. I got to apologize for Friday. We're not going to do Liberty Lounge live anymore, or at least not for the foreseeable future. But I did intend to have something on for Friday, and I don't remember what came up, but by the time it was time we discovered that we hadn't done what we were supposed to do, it was too late, and I want to apologize to everybody for that. So it is what it is. So starting this week, Monday and Wednesday will be the only live shows. I do intend to at least try to have a pre-recorded Liberty Lounge for you on Fridays. I certainly won't guarantee that. But lots of good archives out there. There will be a Liberty Lounge every Friday on time. So that's all I can guarantee right now. But anyway, I'll try to do some pre-records. So that's what's coming up with Liberty Lounge and the Shooting Bench. Living Way Out Here will continue to be on Monday nights for the foreseeable future, and followed by the Shooting Bench, and then another Shooting Bench on Wednesday. So that's what we got going on right now. So let's look at this here, and let's analyze this story here a little bit. There's a guy who's written an article, and it's a pretty decent article. It's not bad. I don't completely agree with it, but I don't agree with the title to start with. He says there's three guns here that preppers like, use, should get, that won't be banned. And then he goes on to talk about, explains his stand here. Now, you know, semi-automatic firearms of pretty much every description have just recently been made illegal in New Zealand. And we have seen that at least some of the gang members are not going to be turning theirs in. We don't know what the citizens of New Zealand are doing yet. Brand new ban. We'll see from what I've seen on some of the news articles, they are in the process of going door to door and picking some of them up. I don't know how true that is, but that's what they're saying. Bump stocks been banned in the United States. I don't agree with that, but it's one of those things. It is most unfortunate that President Trump would do such a thing. However, I'm still waiting to see. No, I'm not waiting to see anymore, because I saw it this afternoon where the Supreme Court had supported the ban, said it was okay. So that my last hope there that what Trump was doing was that he did this with the intention of the courts having to rule on it, give an opinion on it, and would absolve him of having to make that decision. But apparently it's not working out that way, so I'm pretty disappointed in that. Trump's done more amazingly wonderful, awesome things in the time that he's been there, but he's made a couple of big mistakes too. So it's unfortunate, but we're kind of stuck with it for the time being. So, this guy goes on here to say, he talks about what causes guns to get banned. Of course, what caused them to get banned, like in 1994, was appearance. They looked scary. They were black, and they were, they did things, make it look like army guns, like gangster guns, like war guns, and that just totally unacceptable. So, right out of Wikipedia, it says that the federal assault weapons ban, officially the Public Safety and Recreational Firearms Use Protection Act, well, how's that for a handle, was a subsection of the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994, the United States federal law which included a prohibition on the manufacture of civilian use of certain semi-automatic firearms that are defined as assault weapons, as well as certain ammunition magazines that were defined as large capacity. The 10-year ban was passed by the U.S. Congress on September 13, 1994, following a close 52-48 vote in the U.S. Senate, was signed into law by then U.S. President Bill Clinton on the same day. The ban applied only to weapons manufactured after the date of the ban's enactment. It expired on September 13, 2004, in accordance with its sunset provision. So, some of the guns that were, how do they define them as assault weapons? Well, looking into Wikipedia again, the way they got it defined here, semi-automatic weapon capable of accepting a detachable magazine. Some of the provisions there that they were able to get around some of these provisions, some of these definitions here. Folding or telescoping stock, which reduces the overall length of the firearm. So the firearm is okay if overall it's, 32, 36, 38, 40, 42 inches long, but if it is able to be reduced, they don't say by how much, if it goes down to 29 inches, then it becomes an assault weapon, or the stock is banned. It wasn't the weapon itself, it was the stock itself that was outlawed. Pistol grip that protrudes beneath the action of the weapon. Bayonet lugs, threaded barrels that can accept such devices as a flash suppressor, a suppressor compensator, muzzle brake, a grenade launcher. Now, grenade launchers are a problem. I'll have to say that's, I had to take all the grenade launchers off of my 22s and everything, and I hated it. But, we can't be having grenade launchers running around out there in the woods. And the barrel shroud. What was that definition that somebody said the barrel shroud was? It was a stupid, just utterly retarded thing that they used. I can't remember what it was. But, it doesn't have that definition on here. I thought it might. So anyway, here's the thing. And I've talked about this before, but it seems like a timely thing right now. And I don't agree with the title where he says these are weapons that won't get banned, because they have banned things just from the way they look and everything. If they figure out how fast some people are capable of shooting a lever action rifle. See, and we've talked about lever actions extensively on the show, and one of the things that I love about lever actions is that you can continue to feed it without ever taking it out of battery. You don't have to take the magazine out and replace it. You don't have to take the magazine out and replenish it and put it back in. You can be cocked and ready to fire and still be thumbing rounds in the magazine on the side of the gun, on most of them. Not all of them. But the Browning BLR, for one, is one that takes a detachable magazine, so that wouldn't work. But anyway, I think these guns are less likely to be banned. I think they're great fighting weapons for what they are. There's no magazines to lose. There's no nothing to bend, break, lose. Naturally, you can bend the feeding tube, the magazine tube. But you got to get pretty rough with it. Most of these guns have pretty tough know, they're not just little thin tin little tubes. You can on tubular fed magazines on a 22. Yeah, you got a little more chance of bending one and getting it out of operation. But that's why for tubular fed 22s, I think you ought to have a couple of those followers, a couple of those rods that go in there stuck back for hard times. But the lever action is not nearly as scary. They're accurate. They're fast handling. They're well balanced. I absolutely adore the Marlin 336, the Marlin 1894, 1895, and the whole line. I'm not that big a fan of the Winchesters. They're fine. I don't dislike them. I just like Marlins better. And they're just so easy to handle and carry and shoot, and it's just a very natural part of me. When I throw that gun to my shoulder, something's going to die. I mean, it's just a natural extension of my arm. I've shot them for so long, for so many years, that I would never be without at least one. Full power long barreled revolvers. Yeah, they're not as likely to be banned, but it's still a gun. Any gun can be banned. Just ask the people in Hawaii or Massachusetts. Some of these places that, you know, they're extremely restricted on what you can and can't have. So you can't have a loaded revolver in California any more than you can have a loaded Glock, you know, or 1911 or anything else. So one thing me and Doc always agree on is, thank you, Tebow. I'm glad I just switched over to the chat room here and look. One thing me and Doc will always agree on is that the Ruger GP100 is about as good a double action revolver as you can get. There's some that's more accurate, a lot of them with better triggers, but it is a rugged, just amazing revolver. So is the Security 6, the Speed 6, the Service 6, all predecessors of the GP100. And if you're going to buy a good heavy-duty, long-term, practically indestructible revolver, double-action revolver, look no further than the Ruger GP100. It is an awesome weapon. And yes, as a matter of fact, it's funny you should ask. I do have one of those put away, along with a little lever action. Yes, I do. The thing about the semi-automatics, and the reason that I put a revolver away, far away, deep, way down under, is because there could be a time. Yeah, as a matter of fact, for those people that are members of my church, we're told that there will be a time when manufacturing will cease, at least for a time, because it will become too dangerous for people to pursue any degree of vocation. So they want you to go into home manufacture of clothing and stuff like that so that you will be able to get through these hard times. Well, that being the case, the semi-automatic, certainly the magazine is the weak link. You have a very clumsy, ineffective single shot if you don't have some type of a functioning magazine for that. So we present to you the double action revolver. Not as high of a capacity, a tiny bit slower to reload, but it works well, and it's they're fast to shoot, they're accurate, and like I said, in the case of the Ruger, it is virtually indestructible. You've really have to do something pretty damn rough with it to keep it from. Doc just asked me to mention the LDS canneries for preparedness food. Most of your larger places where there's a good population of Mormons, of Latter-day Saints, they have there's a little bit of difference between a bishop storehouse and a cannery, but we have canneries where you have extremely inexpensive bulk food that you can buy. This includes the normal stuff, you know, wheat and mashed potatoes, and they've got some refried beans that are just amazing. I love them. I can't right off the top of my head. I can't rice, wheat, beans, onion flakes, mashed potatoes. Huh? Yeah, honey, flour, sugar, salt, all this stuff in number 10 cans. And if you live somewhere near one of those, it would be, and anybody can go in and purchase this stuff. It's not free for the taking by any means, but it is very reasonable, good quality stuff, and every bit of it is grown on LDS farms. So, there you have it. Let's see, we've got one more thing here on these guns. Is pump shotguns. Now, pump shotguns, yeah, they're less likely to be banned, but they still very well could be. This guy highly recommends a Remington 870. I do like Remington 870s, but I like the Mossberg 500s better. I did a little video on YouTube. I did that specifically for a family that was looking to buy a shotgun and we're looking at some 870s. I said, you know what? Let me show you something here before you put the money into that and see what you think. And if I'm not mistaken, that family has bought now more than one, Mossberg 500 or 590 or something because of my video. So if you want to go to Desert Scout 1 on YouTube and you can check out some of these things if you're so inclined. If you're not so inclined, you can anyway if you want to. Anyway, let's see. Let me see if I can get... Well, that didn't work. Let's try that one more time. Hey, that worked. Cool. All right. Okay, I've just about had all the fun I can stand here. So I think we're going to ease on towards the door. We'll be back Wednesday. And each show, I plan on doing at least something that is along the lines of, some type of training or gun-related stuff other than just a news story. So I'm going to try to do that every show now, or every Wednesday at least. I'm going to try to do it every show, actually. So it'll take me a little bit to get in the swing of a new format here. It's the same days, the same hours, everything. I just want to change my format up just a little bit. Okay, well, that is the end of that, and I will see you guys on Wednesday. So take care, and see you then.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.